This holiday season, give yourself the gift of a fresh start with a personal loan at Fidelity. You could win refreshing prizes like a luxurious spa day, John Bolt gift certificates, a cruise for two, and more. Make that move to a fresh start today. Call 356-7764. Promotion ends December 19th.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 3rd of December, and you are on the clock with Nervous Green. Sometimes you gotta be where you wanna be. Like everybody could be at Nervous Saturday. Nuri, good morning.
Good morning, Erin. How you doing?
Good. You know, this Wednesday?
This Wednesday.
Thank you for joining me.
Yes.
I miss you.
Man down, mash up Wednesday. We're together.
There we go.
So what that means we're doing today?
You're talking, what's in the news? Open line.
Open line.
Yeah. Okay. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720.
So we have 2 hours of open line Wednesday, as we do man down mashup Wednesday. We have one or two things that we want to specifically talk about. Mm-hmm. There's some things trending into the news mm-hmm. that we want to highlight and bring it to the listening audience so they could call in and say, hey, I have some commentary on that. But we're excited today. You haven't done this in a minute.
Absolutely. Plenty of things to talk about, right? I have some stories on my board, like PHA Academy. Why you didn't know about... You knew about PHA Academy?
Okay, let me... Watch me do a spin.
Yeah.
The government has started... Well, don't make up your face. The government has started a number of initiatives that has empowered a number of Bahamians. I'm not sure if Bahamians are taking advantage of it.
Right, like Upskill Bahamas.
Upskill the Bahamas.
Y'all get online, search Upskill Bahamas. There's no upper age limit to participation.
I think that needs to be explained more also.
Yeah. In fact, let's send out an invitation right now.
Yeah.
To the ministry or the agency responsible for Upskill Bahamas.
To come.
Please come.
Yeah.
We want you to come tell us what's available to Bahamian people.
To explain what it is.
Yeah.
Because mind you, there are online courses... A number of Bahamians that never were free online courses Bahamians don't take advantage of now.
Yeah.
But now we have a Bahamian centered online course.
Skills building. Training opportunities.
Yes. Yeah. And perhaps Bahamians need to understand and appreciate what kind of skills are available.
Yeah.
And what can you gain by gaining or embracing these skills?
All right. So with the PHA Academy, you see, I thought you was going to ask me something different.
Go ahead.
I thought you was going to ask me if, like, I'm not scared to go to, like student doctors. And I'd be like, no, I want to go.
I told them the any nurse helpers and doctor helpers.
Listen, any type of healthcare right now I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Anything I could afford.
Yes.
You need to experiment gently. Listen, you could use my body to experiment gently. Once you give me all the other tests as well.
So what exactly is this certificate for?
Okay, so I did a bit of reading, and here's why. I saw this article from Monday's Guardian. Mm-hmm. 71 Bahamians graduate from PHA Academy. 32 trained clinical nurses.
What's a clinical nurse?
Well, see, I didn't get the definition. Like, to make a distinction between a regular nurse mm-hmm. and a clinical nurse, mm-hmm. right?
What do people just call those take blood?
Phlebotomists. My sister's a phlebotomist. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyway, we used to row when we was a little. We don't row no more.
Okay.
I love my little big sister. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 16 pharmacy technicians, 9 emergency medical technicians.
What's that?
Emergency medical, EMTs.
Okay, EMTs.
Yeah, yeah. And 14 medical billing and coding professionals.
Okay, that's a big thing.
Yeah,
that's
I mean.
Money in that individual.
There's potential, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you can do remote work.
Yes.
So potentially you could work for an international corporation mm-hmm. working on their figures that are located in other jurisdictions, mm-hmm. but you could do your work right at home in the Bahamas at your computer.
Yeah. I mean, you can build your resume with that and start a career.
Right. And see, when the conversation yesterday about productivity, mm-hmm. skills building like this leads to greater productivity mm-hmm. because now you're making this part of the job or the service more efficient and effective, right? That time you spend in the doctor's office waiting, sometimes that time is reconciling all your medical records. Mm-hmm. Remember when Dr. Smith, Marvin Smith, Pharmaceutical Association,
President.
When we were talking about the cannabis legislation, mm-hmm. he made this point. He said, listen, you may be going to several different doctors. They may, unless you tell each doctor, all the doctors you go into, mm-hmm. all the medications you're on, they wouldn't necessarily know. But when you go to that pharmacist, mm-hmm. before the pharmacist prescribes you any medication, mm-hmm. they need to be able to consult a record mm-hmm. of all the medications you take in to ensure that what they give you now doesn't interact poorly with the medications you're already on,
good.
Right? And so pharmacy technician is very vital, and medical and billing and coding
yes,
also.
Yes, when it comes to that. So who performed this? Like, is it the NTA?
Well, this is it. No, I'm not sure if it's the NTA, right? So let's start with this article here. PHA Academy, okay, PHA celebrates 25 years of healthcare progress. I think this was published by the PHA, okay. Public Health Authority, 30th of June, 24. Enhancing Emergency Medical Services is a subtitle. Improvements in emergency medical services have been a priority with the development of criteria for the registration and licensing of emergency medical technicians. So I'm thinking that PHA has developed the criteria, mm-hmm. right? So
they have a benchmark and a database of who's trained.
Well, yeah, they definitely have a database, and I'm sure they have a benchmark established according to international mm-hmm. and professional standards, right? And so the academy was established in 2022.
Oh, 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, the PHA continues to work with the Ministry of Health and Wellness to ensure the recruitment, training, and equipment of EMTs and paramedics to meet the needs of all Bahamians. So that was the 30th of June, 24. The academy itself was established in 2022. Let's go to the phone line quickly. I see you, caller, and then we're going to get back to just a brief rundown of what's been happening at the PHA, because we've had more than one cohort graduating mm-hmm. from the academy. Good morning, caller.
Hi. Good morning, folks. How are y'all?
Good morning. Wow. Good, thank you.
Okay. Y'all have open line today, right?
Cool, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, I want to go. I tried to reach in earlier mm-hmm. on Dwight's show when Mr. Latrey Romming was on.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
It was in regard to immigration.
And this new bill.
The new bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this bill or whatever it is. And then he was saying that in certain cases when persons are being, they're being held, like they're the victim mm-hmm. of traffic or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
He said that those persons, even though they are here, now these are victims.
Yes.
Even though they are here illegally, right? Mm-hmm. They will be deported. But
yeah.
they will be deported after the case. So some of these cases should take 2 to 7 years to come up,
mm-hmm.
right? So that means these people can be in this country?
Let me ask you this. Imagine we have a major human smuggling ring.
Yeah.
People kidnap, that's a different thing, human trafficking and this...
Trafficking is when you kidnap.
Kidnapping.
Smuggling is when...
You bring people in illegally. So but let's use human trafficking for now because they're similar, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to get the big fish. This big fish permeating our borders like crazy, but we need someone to testify in order to get the big fish. You're saying that you don't want nobody testify because they got to come out of the country and in order to catch the big fish. What do we do to make sure the person who we need to testify stay in the country long enough to get the big fish?
Right, because I think, to your point, like, technology is available. It's possible. It's a possible. Okay, and also I think the language that's being used may be inappropriate. If they are victims, they're not going to be deported. They're going to be returned. And that's formal legal language, right?
But then get the court system together well. Let these make sure these specific cases come up quick. All right? Because if it's a female, listen, in 2 to 7 years, she can be pregnant with a couple of different children.
That's, I mean, that's bordering on an aspersion on a, right? Like almost on a slur, but
hold on, ma'am.
We could have the conversation that you want to have. We could make the salient points you want to make without all the unnecessary language and ascribing of behavior to people that may not be the case, right? Yes, A, the judiciary is slow, it's backlog, it can't move. It cannot move at the pace required to meet its own agendas. That's a given. We definitely need to enhance the efficacy, the efficiency, and effectiveness of the court system. We're not doubting that at all. What I'm saying to you is that given the point that you make, right, that resources will be spent maintaining people who will ultimately be returned to their jurisdiction of origin, right? Can we use technology to reduce those costs by, when those people are returned, have them deliver testimony through technology, right? The problem is the legal issues. The state, once that person is returned, is the state, their original jurisdiction, obligated to maintain them in their court system to detain them for the purpose of testifying in this foreign jurisdiction via technology? So that's the biggest problem. Like Mr. Newry pointed out right from the break, can you ensure that the witnesses for these high-level cases will be available to deliver testimony at the time? Because that causes the delay. That's one of the biggest issues causing delays in our jurisdiction, that witnesses and lawyers aren't available.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Have you all ever heard, well, I know you all heard, I'm being facetious, you all heard about a gentleman named Fred, what's his name, Fred Smith?
Yes.
The Bohemian Fred Smith.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. QC.
You
KC.
Hear me?
Mm-hmm.
When Japanese man got, he mad at
I think we're familiar with the case.
Japanese, a variety of people, he will turn this, listen, this whole, he will turn.
Let me rephrase it for you.
Hold on.
Let me rephrase it for you. Fred Smith is an excellent lawyer.
He doesn't turn things.
He has mastered his lawyering and his defense of his positions. He is a very good lawyer. Do not ascribe any malfeasance, that's like bad, like intentional criminal activity. Don't put on him any labels because he is a good lawyer. Now, you may be upset that the state has not been able to produce lawyers that can challenge him or that seem to be able to succeed, right? You could do that. But let's not ascribe anything nefarious to Mr. Smith because he is a good lawyer.
Here, here. I'm even going to even go further.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next caller before we continue reading. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Rage.
Good morning.
On the clock with Aaron Green.
Yeah, man. But be good. Good morning.
How y'all doing?
We're doing well.
Depends on the lady who just called, right?
Yeah.
Whenever they have a case between an American and a Bohemian, the American always go back home and come back for the case.
Okay, pause. Stick a pin.
That's not necessarily
hold on. Wait,
so.
Hold on, wait. Call her, stick a pin.
Talk after you finish.
Okay, so watch this. That's not the case. That's not factually true. I just wanted to stick a pin to tell you that.
Mm.
We have many instances where cases are eventually dismissed, right? Because they cannot get the witness or the victim or the defendant, right? The suspect to return.
Can't find them.
Right? Now, the next question we have to ask is, if this is the issue, what's the rationale for allowing them to leave the jurisdiction if they're still involved in a court matter?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And you asked initially whether our government will be responsible for maintaining the person or the witness
right.
in their home jurisdiction while we await to make sure that they show up.
Right.
Right.
Who's financially responsible for that? Who's legally responsible for maintaining them? Right. What if the person say, look, I work on boats. That's how I got to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I'd like to continue working to support myself while I wait for this case to come to court. Now that person is saying, not only have you returned me to my jurisdiction, but I'm asking permission to leave this jurisdiction to continue working, mm-hmm. right? So there are lots of issues that have to be considered before we just say, everybody crooked, we can't just do that, man.
Yes, and we now being overwhelmed with a narrative that everything in the Bahamas is bad.
Yeah.
Right? That there's no good people here in the Bahamas. And that is now becoming overwhelming in terms of how we right. view ourselves.
That we can We can critique systems.
Yes,
right?
Critique systems.
The value, the efficacy, like whether the system is worth it. Does it actually produce what it's supposed to produce? We can critique systems, but let's stay away from critiquing people.
But let me say this before we continue. I see the caller. Let put Patrick caller through in the meantime. And caller, 1 minute for me as I make this point to Aaron. 1 minute for me, caller. I think something purposefully is being done, right? We know that the bill is about human smuggling.
Yes.
Right? That's what the bill is called. Someone, some actor, has changed the name of the bill, in quotes, mm-hmm. and now calling it's an asylum bill.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Purposely, maliciously crafted a new narrative of what is being proposed.
As if we didn't have provisions in law for asylum cases already.
Standard. See, something is malicious with that, and we need to find out who is that actor and definitely call that actor out. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Welcome to On the Clock with Aaron Green.
And guess what, guys? That's exactly what I wanted to say, which you all just said just now.
Yes, but sir. Say it again.
What they can do, though, all those people who they find getting smuggled here, make some legislation that any kid born under them, they have to register under where they come from, not here.
Okay, so I appreciate one of the concerns, right, is that we're not into denying people due process. We're not into denying people justice. We're not saying that your matter should not be heard and adjudicated. What we're saying is given the extreme backlogs experienced in the judiciary, we want to make sure that the state is not overburdened, right, uh-huh. with a responsibility to take care of people who were born during the process.
And that's my point now.
I got so you. Yes.
If that happens, they mm-hmm. need to register because they have embassies for everywhere here. They could register under wherever their hometown is.
I got you. I mean,
that's what needs to happen.
All right. I just want to make, hold on, let me just say this, because uh-huh. one of the greater concerns is statelessness, right? That a child remains without a nation because of red tape laws not aligning between countries. So I appreciate right. the point that you're making by okay. ensuring that they're registered with a jurisdiction.
Exactly. Make sure they register under whatever. If they come from China, they register under China, they go to the Chinese embassy, register them as their birth certificate. Make that deal with these countries now before you put this bill into place so that they will know what will be happening.
It's a point to be considered. I appreciate
you
it.
Know what I said?
Yes, sir.
And my thing is, our government, it seems like when you look at our system, a small theft case takes you 5 to 6 and 10 years before you finish.
Yeah.
So what, how long you think these kind of cases could take? Look at murder cases, for one.
Let me say this. At this present time, there is no law. All those concerns that you have now exist now.
I know that.
So the idea of this new bill does not necessarily change
exactly.
the point.
So we know what this bill is all about.
No, the bill is not about. You can't conclude that. You're going to AY. That don't make no sense. The idea is...
So y'all have a good day.
Yes, thank you
for the contribution.
The idea that this new bill, which I understand is being proposed, is now bringing a layer that our government can prosecute a particular type of crime. There doesn't exist anything that where our government can prosecute this particular type of crime. So we're moving. We're moving now to concentrate about human smugglers in the Bahamas. This is a good thing.
All right.
Because it doesn't, the law, or there's no law that exists at this present time. Now there are some issues you're bringing up, and the issues are fair of having people who are here waiting, who was always going to be waiting, if they have any children, in the meantime, what happens to that children? Mm. But there's a law for that. If an undocumented person has any children here inside the Bahamas, that children is automatically belonging to the mother or the father or whatever nation they're from. That's the law already. They don't become Bahamian. Now, we have laws that say you have a right to apply 18 years later.
Yeah.
You're not an automatic citizen, 18 years
now,
later.
Okay.
But clearly, between the human trafficking trial, the child and the parent would have already been sent
Now, I just want to focus on what people are concerned about. It's right there, right? Yeah. It's the may apply at 18. Mm-hmm. What they're concerned about is that a smart lawyer mm-hmm. going to go to court with that applicant, right, at the age of 18 or within that year period they have to make the application and say, we didn't expect automatic citizenship.
No.
We expected to be able to apply at 18. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we think the child should receive the citizenship is because the child was born while the parents were participating mm-hmm. in a legal process. Mm-hmm. Right? As I say, they were doing what they were supposed to do. They didn't leave the jurisdiction. They waited. They happened to have children while they were waiting. It's not their fault that the court case took 7 years, mm. 5 years, 3 years. That's so what people are concerned about, I think, is that, and I think that's what the reference to Fred Smith is, right? That a savvy lawyer will be able to use the circumstances.
Or will continue to use the circumstances, because it's happening now.
It's set a precedent, right?
It's already a precedent,
right?
That you have a right to apply.
I wanted to say,
18.
I just got the bill this morning. I haven't had an opportunity to look at it, but I'm looking at it now as we speak.
Let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Same scenario.
Yeah.
The child is sent home with the parent, or say the mother in this case.
Probably call a producer. We come in soon.
Right.
Call her.
But the child born in the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
right? And get deported, whatever it is, right? The child still has a right to apply at 18, even if they grew up in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
They still could come here at 18 years
and
old
apply.
And apply, because our constitution allows them, because they were born in the Bahamas, to apply.
Yeah.
Even if they are deported and sent to wherever they need to be sent to.
Yeah.
But let's go to the caller there. It's On the Clock with Aaron Green.
And the Man Down Mashup Wednesday. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Morning.
Yeah, Ms. Green, firstly, and Mr. Newry, it's very upsetting that when the people with the Haitian Bohemian demographics call the talk shows, they lambast the Bohemians, but they don't have anything to say about the belligerence that's being displayed in some instances in our country. But the thing is, the schisms shouldn't be this great given the fact that we have been living with Haitians for decades and decades.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally don't understand why is it that they don't lambast things that they do. It's obviously Bohemian. So I just want to say the xenophobic narrative is played out, especially with me. I live with these people. But what I'm saying is, I haven't read the bill. Hope I don't fall ill. But what I'm saying is, for what I heard in the news, the fact that the bill gives someone a chance to cry wolf and say that they are a victim. So, I will read it before I really fully opine. But, you know, what hurts me is, one, to be very, very naive and deceitful if you would say that fraudulent documents haven't been issued. So the fact that we're talking about the Constitution, let's concentrate on incident and scenarios in which citizenship work permits can be revoked. We're not seeing the revocation of these. I recently learned that in doing so, these things must be put in the newspaper. So I'm just seeing all of these knives against the beam. What I'd like to share is very simply, even a lion, any animal, innately knows that strangers in their territory represent a potential threat for their survival, whether it be for genealogy passing on, whether it be for survival.
I'm glad you said that, 52.
Hello?
Thank you.
So what I'm saying is a natural, innate response is we have people in Ghana.
I got to agree with you.
Nigeria to go back home.
I agree with you.
I'm countering these narratives by certain things put out by Christopher Davis. It's xenophobic. We are all Africans.
I don't know. We are all Africans, mind you.
But we don't want to subjugate one another because we know better than the next one. We're not more better or, you know, it's this numerology. And then they're using psychology. And so for me to sit here as a Bohemian and say, all right, now, I'll take for instance, me personally. I know a Haitian Bohemian guy who has a Bohemian son here. I know him for over 40 years. He was paid to marry a Haitian woman. And he told me that they don't live, well, anyhow.
Well, don't talk about that on the air. That's a crime.
Plus, crime happens everywhere.
Yeah.
These anecdotal issues we are aware of. You could go in Jamaica, you could go in Haiti, go to Puerto Rico. You'll have examples of these anecdotal stories.
Listen, yesterday, a migrant of European descent,
mm-hmm.
after they just decided they're going to throw their car, like you decide you could throw your car in the next lane, right? And then you swing back with no turn signal and almost hit my car. And I tap my horn to let you know you almost hit my car. Like, let's avoid that in the future. This boy give me a finger.
Mm-hmm.
This foreign boy of European descent give me a finger. And he old, too. Old, like, in his 60s. Mm. Waking. Driving wake truck mm-hmm. with the company name on it. that I will refrain from calling right now, but soon I can start calling all y'all, including that big delivery truck that is be in the central part of the Bahamas, like the real center, not the center of the east, who's just, you know, run stop sign off Porter's Key Dock. Like, 52, I was hearing you guys about to say to you, yeah, because it's all, why we don't talk about the other migrants in the country that be doing foolishness too. I could be honest with you, I'm getting tired of all the people on the road doing foolishness who feel that because they're in a company vehicle, they have the protection of a company, or if they have a taxi plate, they have the protection of the union or the government while they're doing foolishness on the road. I was about to agree with you, man, 52.
But long and short, there are a number of people, Bahamians, who are concerned. I listened to part of the interview by Latrey Ramming today, and he said there's going to be more explaining of the bill in general by the specialists or the Attorney General's office or the drafters of the bill. And even though there's a protest by the 12 COIs, people, that's their number, the 12 of them who protested downtown.
When they hit 13, then we know it's a problem.
It's a problem.
Because, I mean, Jesus have all his disciples gathered among him.
12 plus one, right? I assume the references that were they raising their concern, which it seems that people think the people have children while they're here, even though they haven't children now, right? It'll be addressed, right? Bring up the points you have concerns with, and then hopefully it's addressed by whoever
and then
are in charge.
We continue to reinforce that it's important for the government to realize that you have to be ready on day one, the first second, to explain the rationale for the bills, for the composition of the bills, for the language in the bills. You owe that to your citizenry, and you do yourself a disservice by allowing these bills to enter the public domain.
Yes.
Right, without a proper framing, it just causes people to speculate.
And you see that as a lot of speculation happening.
Right.
And unprovoked speculation and unwarranted speculation.
And to quell the fears of people who feel like nobody's listening, nobody paying attention to us. It's also important for the government to explain the rationale from day one about this bill when you have state actors proclaiming that we need to increase the population, that our birth rates are dropping, that we're in dire situations. The government has an obligation to do that. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I miss you. Good morning, caller. Okay, let's go to the next caller, producer. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Eric.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Grant. You know, I would like to put out a challenge to this Christopher Davis gentleman in a public debate on this immigration issue, see, because he's saying to us that he is the know-it-all.
Okay, pause.
Debate.
Hold on, but Duncan, pause. I'm not saying that there's no need for a debate. Here's what I'm asking. I've never heard Chris Davis present himself as an immigration expert or an immigration policy expert. Chris Davis comes from a cultural, historical position, right, with what he says, but that doesn't mean that he is an immigration advocate even.
He's a big advocate from our neighbors to the south. Big advocate.
He from a historic and cultural socialist.
But he could have a sensible discourse, you know. He could bring a team, and we could have a debate on this issue. But what I really would call you for, Aaron, I want to ask you, do we have any other nationality in the Bahamas who claims to be stateless other than the Haitian?
Who claims to be what?
Do we have any other children of other nationals
that claim to be
stateless?
What's stateless?
Yes, you're stateless. Yes,
stateless.
I would say
we have no nation to go.
Hold on. I would say that there is, only speaking from anecdotal, there is no Haitian Bahamian or Haitians who say that they are stateless. People who are saying that is wrong. There's a demographic, small, minute, of a particular demographic who have become stateless because of the laws. Not those people born here, but their grandchildren or the different
their
generation.
Grandchildren and generations further
and
down.
That can happen to any grouping of people. But what you're saying, what you're purporting, that children of Haitians are saying that they're stateless, that's not happening. None of them have never said that.
None of them has ever said that.
No, none of them has never said that.
But the grandchildren and great-grandchildren
can become stateless based on the law. I didn't say that they all are. I didn't say that they all are.
If they don't go and pick up their Haitian...
No, stop. We can have this conversation again. I appreciate your contribution. The question on whether the matter should be debated is real. Whether Chris Davis is the person to debate is another question entirely, because he's never presented himself as an immigration expert or advocate, right? Not modern-day immigration. On the point of statelessness, right? The Haitian Constitution says if you are born to a Haitian citizen, then you're automatically Haitian, right? Now, remember, Haiti said if you're black and African, you could be a Haitian. You could be free if you come to this country, right, to Haiti. Bang. Haitian Constitution says if you're born to a Haitian, then you are Haitian. However, if you're born to Haitian parents in a foreign jurisdiction, then we have questions that arise, right? The first set of migrants that come who are definitely Haitian.
When they are born in the country.
No, I'm going to stop it. They come to the country.
Yeah, but they're born in country, in Haiti.
In Haiti, right. Yes. They're born in Haiti, right? They're Haitian. They come and they have children in the Bahamas. They're undocumented. The children are undocumented. Those children are Haitian.
Yes.
Now, but they're undocumented, right? They don't actually have the Haitian paperwork in their hand. They just, because they are the children of Haitian citizens, right? They are Haitian citizens. Now, when they're in the Bahamas with no status, when those people who were born in the Bahamas with no Bahamian status but assume Haitian citizenship through their parents who definitely had Haitian citizenship, when they have children, the grandchildren of the people who arrived here from Haiti, the question of their citizenship is in question,
yes,
right? They don't automatically, the Haitian government does not automatically convey Haitian citizenship to the grandchildren of those Haitians that arrived in the Bahamas with Haitian citizenship, right? So the question of statelessness may arise, like you say, the grandchildren, great-grandchildren. People don't claim, like you say, I'm stateless. The law, the circumstances of the law involved renders them stateless, right? They refuse to recognize a nationality or citizenship. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Oh, gee, this line, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, man, I got a call back.
You can't hear me? Okay,
Yeah,
you can hear me now.
Yeah, yeah. Man, listen, you know, I trying to get this Ethiopian girl out of Ethiopia to come transit through UK, and I got all the hell in the world. I just wish we used to put this kind of pressure on these other things. But I'll tell you something.
Would you,
Uncle? I don't believe, huh?
Uncle, what be doing?
What I'm trying to say is,
yeah, go on.
What you got to go through,
yeah,
legally,
mm-hmm,
to get someone out of Ethiopia to come to the Bahamas, if they ain't got no money in their bank account, they're in trouble. So you got to put money there in order to show that they got money. You got to go through all kind of hoops.
Which jurisdiction requires that? Is it the UK government? Is it, countries they're traveling through?
Brazil, Canada, UK. I've been checking them all. But that ain't what I call for. I just want to show you how difficult it could be. But if you make things so easy. But look at what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
The government has, I think, I don't know if they force it, but they got this anti-gang act something. There's never been any prosecutions yet to occur under that. And mm-hmm, here we are. All we are about is just making legislations, passing laws, but hardly ever enforced. And you could tell the evidence rules. The act allows for symbols, signs, any little coding, clothing, to identify you as a gang member.
I'd be scared to be in a lodge right now, buddy. Ooh, I'd be scared to be in a lodge.
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is we passing all these laws because of some incident that occur. But ain't nothing gonna happen. So the two gangs we need to get rid of are the ones who got yellow and red. If we get rid of them two gangs, the Bahamas will be in a good state.
Well, thank you, producer. Uncle, you said some things this morning that make me want to have all kinds of conversations with you. But I'm going to take that as just an example that you were giving us about the difficulty of migration, right? And then we're talking about the circumstances that arise with illegal migration. We go into a break. When we get back from the break, I wanted to tell you all more about what was happening at PHA. Call if you could hold the line. Hold the line. We have to get to this break. The traffic fatalities, 3 in a matter of, what, 4 days? It's a clear indicator. And then I want to connect productivity, the conversation we had with the National Productivity Task Force Chair, Edison Sumner, yesterday. If you haven't filled out the survey yet, go online, search Facebook or Instagram, National Productivity Task Force Bahamas. Find a link, fill out the survey. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $50,000 to provide holiday meals for families in need. But we need your help. From November 3rd to December 17th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Cost Right, Fresh Markets, Eleuthera Markets, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in New Providence, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This holiday season, give yourself the gift of a fresh start with a personal loan at Fidelity. You could win refreshing prizes like a luxurious spa day, Jumbo gift certificates, a cruise for two, and more. Make that move to a fresh start today. Call 356-7764. Promotion ends December 19th.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family.
Let's go! Ah! They're coming! Good morning, welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green on this Wednesday Man Down Mash Up session. Producer, let's go to the phone line right away and then to the text line. We're going directly to the text line. Good morning, caller.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I'm calling back again.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Listen, and I'm sorry to have to call back again.
No, ma'am. Go ahead.
No, ma'am. Go on.
Okay. Have you listened to Donald Trump's comments lately?
No.
In regard to the Ethiopians?
No.
You mean Somalians?
Wow.
I saw his comment about the Somalians. He said, in fact, I saw a quote this morning. He said Ilhan Omar, the rep, he called her garbage and then said all the Somalians need to be sent home. That's what he said.
Right. For what reason? Because they don't contribute.
No, that's, I know, ma'am, Donald Trump is going through some things right now.
I think we don't know who Donald Trump is.
And
his
immigration statement. See, this is the same man who said that the Somalians was eating the cats and the dogs. No, ma'am. This Trump said that Somalians was eating the cats and the dogs, the people's pets. And so I'm not trying to degrade Trump. I just want to be very gentle and calm and say, I ain't sure what's going on with him. I don't trust his statements.
Hello? I want to draw an analogy right now, right?
Okay, go on.
Okay. The purpose for it, he said, he wants them gone because they do not contribute. Okay, you listen to that again.
Okay.
Okay? They do not contribute to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But even when you do analysis on it, you believe every Somalian in the United States and none of them contribute?
No, I'm not even talking about that. That ain't our business.
Okay, so let's bring it to the Bahamas.
Right. That's all I was doing, an analogy. Listen, and we do everything. What the U.S. do, we do. And they are smart people. I mean, that's why we do it. But if you have folks in our country, or we have a system that promotes people in our country, right, that don't need to be here. They don't contribute to nothing. And I'm not saying I ain't calling no nationality. Okay? Hello?
Hi, I'm here. Because I was going to say, if there's one migrant group that's in the Bahamas and we could ascribe the behavior of does nothing, they do nothing, it's Americans. When they come, hold on, pause. I being so serious, miss. It's Americans. Pardon?
No, I can listen to you, but don't cut me off because I want to respond to you.
Okay. It's Americans, right? Because that's what I'm saying. We have a lot of Americans who come here, right, and overstay. They attempt to make the Bahamas their home, but they rely on their privilege of being an American and of being an American of European descent. Some, see, because we broad brushing now, right? You broad brushing, I broad brushing, we all broad brushing, right? They come and they enjoy life here as much as they can without being detected by immigration. And the way you don't get detected by immigration is you don't work. If you don't work, they ain't coming. Anyway, the point is this, right? I met an American woman. She's a beautiful American woman, lovely person, wonderful person. She came here under the guise, I guess, she came as a tourist to conduct research for her PhD on food and culture. For a PhD. The whole time she just floating in and out of the country as a tourist. Right?
Okay, I gotcha.
The Philippines working, the Haitians working, right? The Jamaicans working, the Dominican Republic people, the Dominicans waking, some of them overwaking and doing other type of work they shouldn't be doing, but we think that may be smuggling or trafficking. That ain't the point. The point is the people them here waking. Who ain't here waking?
Okay. May I now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You see any American children in our school, in the school where Bahamian children have to go on the registration list? Okay. Please. Permit me. I ain't gonna be disrespectful. Do you see any American or whomever else anywhere in our school system piling up our school where our own children can't go in there?
Hold on. Let me respond to that, and then I can let you talk. I ain't hang you up. Because some of them be homeschooling their children. Their children still in school in the jurisdiction they from, you know, but because of their privilege, they don't have to leave the house to go to school. But
yeah,
go on.
But here's what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not preventing our children, Bahamian children, from getting into the school.
Stick a pin. I want you, the next time you see your MP, to ask him how much did the 50th Independence celebrations cost and how much of that money could have been used to ensure that teachers have desks that don't have to sit on JBR block.
You're changing my train of thought.
No, man, I don't mean to change your train of thought. I just,
yeah,
like, you say something and I
studied that in college, too.
I know, it ain't psychology in you, ma'am. I'm just saying, if we're talking about the effective and equitable allocation of national resources, right, hold on.
That's what I'm saying.
Ma'am. If we're talking about, right, the allocation of national resources, right, and ensuring that Bahamians are not underserved in the allocation of national resources.
I understand.
I can tell you this right now. I tell you this right now. Let's go to Rawson Square after the show so I could go cuss out some MPs on your behalf, because they're responsible for the allocation of national resources and they're spending it on themselves and not on the students.
Thank you very much, Carla.
Okay. Can I say this and then I'm going to hang up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Schools, healthcare system, God, our jobs. All right. We don't see nobody else who coming here and taking up. Now, when you do them things, when you try to knock me and my, well, they ain't gonna knock my children were bankers. I raised them privately. But when you see you come and you knocking out, you could come, right? You could come and go as you please, right? But when you knocking out, my own people have to step aside because you are infiltrating all these resources. Free.
Okay, listen, we just need to charge them. I appreciate you, then. So we have some text here. It says, Aaron, it wasn't
Somalians.
Somalians. It says it was the Haitians
Trump said it was eating the cats and the dogs.
Then this next text says, this old woman is a total complete jerk.
No. Sure, okay, all right.
That.
I mean,
and
listen, hold on. Text her. I imagine. Okay, we're not going to let that stand. That's you expressing your opinion, your frustrations, right? I just was trying to juxtapose, right? Like to provide like a greater context for the audience by juxtaposing what you're saying with other things that are happening in the country. I just want to say this, though, that if you're concerned that resources are not being allocated equitably and efficiently or effectively, right, towards services, things that serve Bahamians, I want you to do me a favor. Ask yourself, who is responsible for the allocation of national resources? And why are you not telling them clearly where to not put it? I don't get it. Why do people not see a connection between the lack of resources available to the Ministry of Education and the amount of resources spent by the state that we never get an explanation for? Let's go to the next call and then to... Oh, wait.
It's 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Let's
okay, caller.
Caller and then...
I got text, man.
Text? Okay, call on the next side of the show. It's two hours.
Okay, no. Okay, good morning, caller. I got you, caller. Good morning. You here? Caller, I heard you was here. What happened?
Next side of the show.
All right.
Soon 11 o'clock.
Here we go. It is 11 o'clock. Texas said, yes, we Bahamians are bad and stupid. No. We Bahamians are in crisis. We in financial crisis, right? That's what it is. We in crises. Because I'm telling you, that's the only way you could have a judge, you could have a job being assigned to drive a judge's vehicle, right? Your job, you've been assigned to drive a judge's vehicle and you can't stop at stop sign. You don't know how to not launch your car in the road to force your way out of a corner. The people in crisis, even the people at the top don't know how to hold their head, what to say and when to say it. In the next hour, I want to talk about the public service union and the prime minister being disappointed. See, that's why this daddy language is unacceptable. Go be disappointed in your children. Mm. Not in unions doing their job. Thank you, producer. I'm sorry. We go into the break. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. My apologies, producer.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.